القرآن الحكيم إنك لمن المرسلين على صراط مستقيم تنزيل العزيز الرحيم لتنذر قوما ما أنذر آباؤهم فهم غافلون لقد حق القول على أكثرهم فهم لا يؤمنون. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
He's not connecting with them. Although it's connected to yours, he's not getting I think it's a little bit confused. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. I will give you a brief introduction into the life of the daughter of Umar radiallahu anhu, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ummul Mu'mineen Hafsa binti Umar radiallahu anha. Hafsa and Hafs refers to the word lion. In the Arabic language for lion you have many names. One is Asad. And then besides Asad, there could be up to another about 100 different words which could be used to refer to the meaning of lion. One of them is Hafs. So Hafs will be a male lion and Hafsa will be a female lion. Hafsa. Umar radiallahu anhu would be called Abu Hafs. By the removing of the ta, meaning the daughter, father of Hafs, means Hafsa. So Hafsa means that who is the lioness, and Hafsa binti Umar, the lioness of Umar. Sayyida Hafsa radiallahu anha was born about 5 years before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's nubuwa. Nubuwa comes at the age of 40, so at the age of 35 will be her birth. From there we can understand the difference in age between her and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 35 years difference. The beginning 5 years of her life, she will find it in a house of trauma, where her father, number one, Umar radiallahu anhu, was a man of great knowledge, and he ensured that his daughter Hafsa and her brother Abdullah bin Umar, from a young age they started learning. He was very worried about learning, reading, writing. Umar radiallahu anhu loved that. But he had a terrible temper. Umar radiallahu anhu's temper was known to the people. That is why the Quraysh would say, if anyone could kill Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he's not bothered of consequences, it is Umar. When he would get angry, he was ready for death. If someone would say, all of the tribes would come and they will kill you, they will take revenge. He said, let them take revenge, so what? Umar radiallahu anhu's temper was known by all. And because there was no Islam, it was called uncontrollable temper. Hafsa radiallahu anha saw the age where the temper of her father was not just out of control, but because those were the days where Islam's da'wah was getting louder and louder, she would see the days where her father, in opposition to Islam, would come home angrier, angrier, angrier. And naturally, a person who has an uncontrollable anger, when there is something that blows his fuse, like the rise of Islam, he would take it out on his family. So Hafsa radiallahu anha, her beginning days in the house, after the age of 5, where you normally now start understanding things, that is when the da'wat of Islam started, when she would be 5 years old. And until her father will accept Islam, in her house she would see like qiyamah. But never later on in life will Hafsa radiallahu anha ever sit back and say, I had a difficult childhood. This was not things that they would say. Thus, when a person today says that because my parents fought when I was young, that's why my life is not good. There's no such thing like this. If it could have affected anyone, it could have affected this young girl. But she sees a man who's out of control, daily coming home, angry that his plans against Islam is not working. He is torturing people and coming home. He is planning the killing of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in anger. She sees that, but it doesn't affect her. Which shows that if one's parents behave in a nasty manner when one is young, it is not something nice, but it is never an excuse that the person himself behaves bad later on. Islam doesn't allow us to blame others for our problems. Each person carries his own burden, and each person must learn to rectify his own. Living on a story that when I was young this was done, therefore I am entitled to do the same, it doesn't work. Then Islam entered the house. For Hafsa radiallahu anha and her family, that would have been like the most happiest day, to see their father entering the house in a different face. He is not swearing, he is not abusive, he is not vulgar. Rather, there's a shine on his face. He is quiet. He calls his family, he is not thundering and roaring like every other day. He calls them because when Islam hit the heart of Umar radiallahu anha, it made him so soft, so soft. Now his face is shining. And when his family will ask that, what is the matter today? And then he will say, I have brought you the news of the Islam of Umar. And in the house of Hafsa radiallahu anha, a takbir will take place. For them, how happy it is that the light of Islam is entering the house, together with that the happiness that now they will be able to enjoy a father, not a monster. Islam entered. But during those difficult years, how Hafsa radiallahu anha made sabr on the difficult temperaments of her father. But she was so young. When Hafsa radiallahu anha is about 17 years old, 17 to 18, a proposal comes from a Sahabi radiallahu anhu who had already made the migration to Abyssinia. Because of his hijrah to Abyssinia, now remember this, a person who made the hijrah were those people who had nothing to live for in Makkah Mukarramah. Life was too difficult, so they decided to go to Abyssinia. A person who goes to Abyssinia means he got nothing in Makkah. He got no family to support him. He got no real business. He got no real dwelling. A person who has made hijrah to Abyssinia is regarded as a very great person in Islam, but at the same time, it is regarded as a pauper, a person who owns nothing, a person who got no one. Thus, when he proposes for the hand of Hafsa radiallahu anha in marriage, a normal family will look and say, think about this well, because this boy got no family structure. He got no wealth of his own. He got no dwelling. He just came back from Abyssinia. He's not even stable. But Umar radiallahu anh and his daughter would never ever be looking now at things of this world. What spurred Hafsa radiallahu anha to say immediately yes to the marriage? What spurred Umar radiallahu anh to say, I have no objection, it is just to see what my daughter got to say? Scholars write that the fact that this young Sahabi had made the hijrah to Abyssinia, that hijrah that he's made, that jihad, that mujahada, that sacrifice that he had made for Allah made him beloved to her. Meaning for Hafsa radiallahu anha, what she looked for in her husband was sacrifice. Where a normal girl looks for in a husband, and a mother normally looks in a son-in-law, a father will be desirous of who will get my daughter's hand in marriage, someone well settled, someone's bank balance which is pleasing to others, someone who I think can really financially afford my daughter. Umar radiallahu anhu was a wealthy person. Hafsa radiallahu anha grew up in wealth. But when she says labbaik, when she's ready to accept a proposal, it's a proposal of a man who has nothing. In that she gave a lesson to the world. How nice it will be when a girl thinks of getting married. And the first box to tick is, did he sacrifice for Islam? They write that her love for her husband, Khunais bin Hudhafa Sahmi radiallahu anh, extreme love for her husband, was based on the fact she would look at him as one who sacrificed greatly for Islam. Allah tabarak ta'ala then made him and her make the hijrah to Medina Munawwara. The battle of Badr, he fought and he was brilliant. In the battle of Uhud, he fought, he was brilliant, but he was injured. He was brought home, he did not pass away as the other martyrs at Uhud. He came back with injuries. And sometimes it's harder on a wife to see her husband passing away slowly compared to the one who gets the news he passed away. Hafsa radiallahu anha had to see her husband slowly pass away. She would treat the wound, it would open up again. She would treat the wound, it would open up again. A different doctor explaining how deep the wounds are. Again treated, again opening, again treated. And then came the day where Allah tabarak ta'ala called her husband towards him and leaves her at the age of 20. Around the age of 20, 21, she becomes now a widow. But for her, it's not easy, as I mentioned. From the age of 5, the first years of her life were not easy. And now from the age of 19, 20, 21, again, it's not easy. They say sometimes when you get knocked with the second affliction, it makes you remember the first. She had a difficult upbringing. Then she saw happiness. Then she entered into marriage. And then she sees her husband in front of her eyes going. But Hafsa radiallahu anha was not a normal girl. She was a lioness of Islam. Umar radiallahu anha is a lion. But the scholars write that you would see the pain more on Umar than on Hafsa. You would see the pain more on Umar than on Hafsa. He would go into the house and he would find his daughter engaged in salah. He would find his daughter in fasting. She would take out her pain in front of Almighty Allah. How she had taken it out at the beginning with sabr, even before Islam reached her house. When she had made sabr on the beginning days when her father was most abusive when he would come home. She would now take out her pain in front of Almighty Allah. They mention Umar radiallahu anhu would show the pain more than his daughter. Umar radiallahu anhu, to make things easy now, takes the courage. And this really needs courage. where you approach somebody else and say to him that, would you like to marry my daughter? There are very, very few people in the world who got this level of courage. Umar radiallahu anhu had it. It's not easy. You go up to a person and you say, my daughter. But because this courage is not found in people today, in too many houses, girls are not getting married. If the father cannot take the courage, the mother must take the courage. Where women nowadays are so good at passing and sending messages, how fast they type out that message. How fast. As they are so good in sending messages, they also have to take the courage to inform others that their daughter is of marriageable age. Thus that you will wait for a good proposal to come. In the whole world, there is something called advertisements. If you don't advertise the product, you're not going to find anything. A good girl is covered in the house. She's not like a girl who's going to the school, mixing with boys. They all see her, they know her. A good girl is covered like a flower. But it is necessary for the gardener, the man of the flower, to go and inform others that there is a flower in the house. And you might not always get a good answer the first or second time. Someone might tell you, I'm not interested. Someone might say, your daughter is not good enough for me. Someone would say, she's not so pretty what I'm looking for. You'll have to go through it. But if you just sit and you wait that someone will one day come, that is not the way of brave people. Umar radiallahu anhu immediately goes out. He comes to Usman radiallahu anhu. Why? Usman radiallahu anhu had just lost his wife, Ruqayya radiallahu anha. And he was in real grief because he has lost the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar radiallahu anhu thinks Usman is grieving and I am grieving. My daughter lost a husband, he lost a wife. This is the perfect union. And he goes up to Usman radiallahu anhu with so much of hope. But Usman radiallahu anhu says to him, let me think over it. And a few days later, where Umar radiallahu anhu is expecting a yes, the answer comes that at the present moment, I have no feelings for marriage. It was not that, rather it was that Usman radiallahu anhu felt, I don't think any girl will manage to take the place of the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thus, he did not want to take Hafsa radiallahu anha in his house, because naturally, you will then compare her to your previous wife, and no one can be like the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Usman radiallahu anhu, that was his issue. No one can compare with what I was given, a daughter of the Nabi of Allah. How will I manage to take somebody else at the moment? But Umar radiallahu anhu is hurt. Why did he say no? From here you learn that sometimes when the answer will come no, don't get upset. There was definitely something that they had in their mind, they thought about. What is not written for you is never meant to come to you, no matter how close you think you were to it. He meets Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and he offers his daughter. Look at the age gaps. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is also more than 35 years older. But age also was never an issue with them. These are customs that have entered us and because of which many marriages don't take place. Even age was not the problem. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, however, gives no answer. And this makes Umar radiallahu anhu even more upset. He now goes to complain to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about Abu Bakr. That at least he can give me an answer. He's not saying yes, he's not saying no. From here you understand how hurt he was. You are going to be hurt if someone says no for your daughter. It's natural. But Umar radiallahu anhu took it. He was ready for the pain. He comes to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The law is no pain, no gain. He took the pain. He comes to the Nabi of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Umar, relax. Don't worry about this matter too much. Leave it. He says, Allah will give your daughter someone better than Abu Bakr, someone better than Usman. And someone will give Usman, and Allah will give Usman someone better than your daughter. Allah will give your daughter someone better than Usman. And Allah will give Usman someone better than your daughter. And Umar radiallahu anhu wonders that how does this work? Who can be better than Usman and Abu Bakr? And who can be better than my Hafsa? Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invites Usman radiallahu anhu and proposes to him for the marriage of his other daughter, Kulthum. And then Umar radiallahu anhu sees someone who was definitely better for Usman radiallahu anhu than Hafsa. Another flower from the house of Nubuwa. But now comes the question, now who is better for Hafsa than Usman? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then sends the proposal. And this brings the entire house of Umar radiallahu anhu into an ecstasy. To become the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not just something that happens. It was the sabr that Hafsa radiallahu anha made. It was the du'as, her standing, her fasting. And it was the worry and the concern of her father. When there is du'a and when there is effort, then Allah tabarak ta'ala opens up doors. Some only make du'a. They don't make effort. Only du'a. Every year a sheikh would come to a place. Once a year he would come, he would meet the same uncle who'd say, Hazrat, please make dua that I get a child. Every year, Sheikh would lift up his hand and say, Allah bless you with good children, coolness of your eyes. Next year again, the man says, Sheikh is thinking something's wrong with this man. Say, Hazrat, make dua, I get good children. Allah give you good children. Allah give you good children. Again, he's making dua. Again, year after year, one day the Sheikh says to someone, how many years I'm making dua that he gets good children? What's happening? The people say, Hazrat, he's not even married. Then Sheikh looks at the man and screams at him, you're not married, you. How are you going to get children? Many a time we tell, make dua, my daughter must get married. You ask, what have you done? Say, nothing. Have you gone to tell others that your daughter is of marriageable age? No. Who's going to tell that old auntie might tell? We told her. That auntie is not going to worry about your daughter, how you will have to look after your daughter. Your son is of marriageable age. Before he finds a girl through the internet, through the phone, you must take the courage to tell, my son, he's looking for a girl. A mother, a father cannot be a coward in this matter. Where so many girls and boys are sitting today not married. If the boy and girl starts finding each other, it becomes even harder. Because then the girl found the boy she wants to marry. Only she doesn't know how to tell her father which house to go to. Because the father will say, how you know about that house? And then she'll say, Daddy, I'm speaking to him. Then the father will get angry. But the parents are getting angry because if you're not going to find yourself someone for your children, and you're going to leave them to the age of 23, 24, 25, that is the age where their desires are going to force them to find for themselves. From an early age, get your children married or find someone already for them, so that they themselves don't have to go and waste time looking for their own. Hafsa radiallahu anha enters into the house of Nubuwa on the basis of her qiyam and her siyam. Her sabr on the decisions of Allah, even on losing her husband. What a thing she teaches the world, no pain, no gain. Had she not lost her husband, there was no way for her to become from the mothers of the ummah. For her to get one step closer, she had to lose one. In life, if you lose something, always think of this, no pain, no gain. But on pain, be like a Hafsa, qiyam and siyam. She took out her grief in fasting, she would take out her grief in standing. She was known for three unique qualities. One is ilm. From a young age, Umar radiallahu anhu taught her how to read and write. They mentioned she was better in reading and writing than many of the men of her era. From the five wives of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam who memorized Quran complete, she was one of them. She was a markaz of ilm, where the men normally stand when they make salawat to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. At that spot was her house. So she and Aisha radiallahu anha lived opposite each other. Aisha radiallahu anha would say, no one could compete with me except Hafsa. She was a master in history, master in Arabic literature. She was master in understanding of Quran. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu later on grows up to become the leading scholar of Islam, the son of Umar. His greatest teacher is his sister Hafsa radiallahu anha. She was a master in knowledge, and she taught me and you that being a woman doesn't prevent you from giving a great contribution to Islam, whether it be in knowledge or it be in any other aspect. Abdullah bin Umar is the giant of Islamic knowledge, but his teacher is his sister Hafsa. With the laws of the veil, governed with the principles of modesty and haya, they ensured that the knowledge of Islam which came in their houses spread from their houses. She was master in ilm, and she left a message to the world. Being a woman doesn't prevent you making a great contribution to Islam. Become a scholar, then you will be a mother of a scholar. You will be the first teacher to your children. If you are unable to directly help the cause of knowledge, indirectly. Every woman cannot be a teacher, but definitely every woman can be a sponsorer of a teacher. There are two types of help that a girl can give, a woman can give. One is you can sponsor a student, and many madrasas have sponsored a student. That student will one day grow up to become a leading scholar. You will be the mother of that scholar. Another way, you become the sponsor of a teacher directly. You say, I would love to sponsor a teacher. A woman doesn't have so much financial needs like men. In this country, for some reason, many of the women, it seems, they earn more than their own husbands. But when you ask, what are your expenses? Then the expenses most of the time is, no, the normal stuff. Normal stuff means makeup. So you spend so much on your makeup. So the poor husband earns less than the wife. And that little that he earns, he has to spend it on the wife. The wife earns more than the husband. But when you ask where you spend your money, she also spends on herself. So double goes on her, and the poor husband comes out with none. The reason is because she doesn't know where to put her money. Then comes the time of zakat. How many girls there are, they tell their husband, I got so much of jewelry, so much of gold when I got married to you, your family gave me so much. During the year, they're so happy with their gold. When Ramadan comes, that's when they say, you know what, I got so much gold like a burden. Now, who's going to pay the zakat on all of this? Again, poor husband, she looks at him and says, you'll pay my zakat. What he's going to say? He earns less than her, but he has to pay her zakat. When you ask, what's your money for? Then that money is just to go in the grave. First lesson of Hafsa radiallahu anha, quality was ilm. Second was sadaqah. She was a woman who was known as the house of the fuqara. The fuqara understood, just be at the door of Hafsa, something is going to come to you. Money would enter, money would leave. She grew up in luxury. She's the daughter of Umar radiallahu anhu. He was a wealthy businessman. But then she sees the error of her father as the Khalif of Islam, but nothing in the house. And she also being the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people would mention wealth would enter the house of Hafsa, and in a few minutes that wealth would leave the house of Hafsa. Hafsa would be poor before the money would come. Hafsa would be poor after the money would leave. She chose a life of poverty so that she could make others wealthy. Second level, the love of sadaqah. It was unique in Hafsa radiallahu anha, how she loved to give charity. Number three, siyam. And number four, qiyam. Hafsa radiallahu anha, the scholars write, a tabi'i says, I entered into the house of Hafsa because of being a mahram. He says, you would enter a house and find her in salah at night, and you would think that she is not going to sleep the entire night. Qiyam. She was called Qa'um, the woman standing in front of Allah. And then she was called Sa'um. She would fast. He says you would think she's not going to miss a single fast. On one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam becomes upset with Hafsa radiallahu anha. She and Aisha radiallahu anha were like a pair. Umar radiallahu anha would warn her that if you'll ever have to overdo it with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, overdo it, then you will take him to a time that he might become angry with you. But Hafsa radiallahu anha would explain to her father that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam allows us to talk like this to him. So what happened is Umar radiallahu anha, on one occasion, he has an argument with his wife. But now it's in Medina Munawwara, so his wife answers back. Umar radiallahu anha gets shocked. And he says, in Makkah Mukarrama, our woman would never ever answer us. He says, yes, the woman of Medina Munawwara, they answer back. He says, now our wives came to Medina and they started learning from these women. He says, you never ever answered me back. What happened? Have you been influenced? So his wife says, that what are you worried about me answering back? Even the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on times answer back. And this is a lesson that I'm sure you'll be very happy to learn and go and tell your husbands. That the next time they shout you for answering back, then you can easily say, even the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered back. Problem is that the story doesn't end there. It goes further. Umar radiallahu anhu gets shocked. How can they answer back? And he goes and he speaks to his daughter Hafsa. He has a lot of respect for her, but he's still Umar, the father. And he says, oh my daughter, don't destroy yourself. And then he says, just because Allah's Nabi is so, so, so humble, so modest, so shy, that he allows you the chance to answer him back and he doesn't say anything. But he says to her, but if Allah's Nabi does not get angry, who will save you if the Rabb of Allah's Nabi gets angry? Who will save you if Allah gets angry? He says, Allah's Nabi might just smile and keep quiet. You made him angry, but he's not saying nothing. He's too modest. But who will save you if he is Allah gets angry? This is definitely something that every woman must think about. Islam has definitely given every woman the chance to speak. But together with that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, remember, if your husband at night is upset with you, forget the angels, even the hoors of Jannah spend the night cursing you. You live under the anger of Allah until you and your husband make up. It's very easy to argue and to fight. But never ever let our mouths, our tongues put us in a position that we can't make up now. The husband is angry and Allah is angry with us. He said, who will save you if Allah gets angry with you? He said, I warn you, my daughter, don't carry on, don't carry on. Allah tabarak ta'ala, have I made it? And something happened, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upset. A thought did occur of divorcing Hafsa radiallahu anha. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam comes, and this is his words, that Allah does not want you to divorce her. Innaha sa'umun qa'umun. For she is a woman who's known to fast, and she is a woman known to stand in front of Allah. She got two such beautiful qualities that Allah will not let you divorce her. Rather, innaha min nisa'ika fil jannah. Allah has already written that this is your wife in Jannah. You cannot separate from her. Divine help came when she remained connected to Almighty Allah throughout her life. That sa'um and qa'um, the quality of fasting and the quality of qiyam, of who? Of a woman. Allah tabarak ta'ala bless all of you with that quality. Her first quality, ilm. Her second, love of sadaqah. Her third quality, the love to fast. And her fourth quality, the love to stand in front of Allah. Ramadan is now coming to an end very fast. Take inspiration from this lioness of Islam. After Ramadan, fast. First finish up your qadas. And then become habitual with nafil fasting. Become a woman of fasting. And then qiyam. A man marries. And for some reason, he had not gone to see the girl he is going to get married to. On the first night when he sees her, he becomes upset that how could his father choose for him such a girl? That is why Islam has said you must see the girl yourself. The boy and the girl must meet so that they don't blame anyone after. But this boy got married without seeing, trusting his father's decision. But on seeing the girl, he was not impressed. And the girl picked up, the girl, boy is not impressed. So she went quiet and naturally she starts crying. And then she says, I also thought maybe you will not like me if you are to see me because I know how handsome you are. And I also wondered why your father brought you the proposal for you to me, knowing I'm not the most beautiful of girls. Not ugly, but not the most beautiful. So he just keeps quiet, he looks the other way. So after crying for a while, the girl comes to him and says that if you want to divorce me tomorrow. Don't divorce me tonight. She says, I'll be happy to go. I'll sleep in another room tonight, you sleep in another room. She says, I only ask you one favor. My whole life, I waited to get married. Not knowing who will ever marry me because I'm not the most beautiful girl from the girls around. But I always said, oh Allah, let me get married. So that this one narration that I have seen, but only a married person can practice on it. That Allah have mercy on that woman who wakes up for salah at night. And then she throws a little water on her husband. And she says, oh, my husband, will you also wake up for Allah? She said, so many years I waited to practice on this narration. And when the news of marriage came, I became so excited, I will now practice on it. She says, allow me tonight to come in your room, to drop some water on you, and to say, oh, my husband, will you stand up for Allah? She says, let me do that, then you can divorce me tomorrow. I promise I will go and there will be no ill feelings. And then it's already night, so he says, no problem, you can do what you want. And she comes at night and she throws water and she says, oh, my husband, will you stand up for Allah? To make her happy, she's going to be divorced. He stands up. He makes wuzu. And then she says to him, will you be my imam for 2 rakats? That at least to be able to read 2 rakats behind my husband. This man is narrating his incident. He's narrating it many years later when someone asks him, how lucky you are, what wonderful children you are. Allah had blessed him with children, all of which were hafiz and hafiza of Quran, and many of them were becoming alim. But all of them had unique character, unique. And when you see a man with so many children and there's no black sheep, all his children are so handsome, so beautiful, but so good in character. You naturally tell the person, like, how did you bring up your children? So when someone asks him, so he narrates this incident. And he says that I made the imamat of this girl. And after I made salam, I turned around to look at her, thinking about how at night she wanted to wake me up for salah, and how she wanted to be a person reading namaz behind me. He says, when I look at her now, I find her to be the most beautiful girl that I had ever seen. Obviously, she never changed, but Allah changed his eye. First, what he looked at was beauty of a face. Now he was seeing character. Now he was seeing piety. He says, I found my wife to be what a personality, what a person, so unique. He says, I don't think I have ever seen someone as beautiful as her. He said, we lived so happy and Allah blessed us with children. He says, and these are the children you're finding in front. Allah made them so handsome, so beautiful, and Allah blessed them with so unique character. Maybe the handsomeness was coming from his face, but the character was definitely coming from her. You become a woman of qiyam. You stand in front of Allah. And may Allah bring the day where you have the courage and your husband gives you permission that you can also say, oh my husband, you also stand up for Allah. Sawm, fast after Ramadan. Start with a little but fast. Qiyam in front of Allah, even if it's only 4 rakats. Only 4 rakats. If it's too hard to wake up and read it before going to sleep. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu would say, my friend Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me, before I go to sleep, I must read my witr. Before you go to sleep, read 2 rakats, 4 rakats, and then read a witr with it. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's minimum was 4 plus 3. Minimum. Read 4. Then read your 3 witr, then go to sleep. But do something at night. If you cannot have qiyam of many hours, have qiyam of a few minutes. May Allah tabarak ta'ala bless every one of you all. Sawm, qaum, fasting for Allah, standing for Allah. May Allah bless you to be a female of ilm. If you yourself cannot be a teacher, become a sponsor of a teacher. If you are unable to sponsor a teacher, sponsor a student who will one day become a teacher. If you are unable to sponsor a student who will one day become a teacher, then lift up your hands and say, oh Allah, make me the mother of a scholar. Be a scholar or one who prepares a scholar. Ilm, sadaqah, qiyam, and siyam. May Allah tabarak ta'ala bless us all to be inspired by Hafsa binti Umar radiyallahu anha, and how the help of Allah tabarak ta'ala came when she needed it. She found it through qiyam and siyam. May Allah tabarak ta'ala allow us to find his divine aid always. With the beautiful qualities of ilm, charity, qiyam, and siyam. Wa sallallahu ala al-nabiyyi al-kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallahi wa bihamdih. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruk wa natubu ilayh.
اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم اللهم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين Allah let us be the coolness of the eyes of our spouses and make them the coolness of our eyes. وجعلنا للمتقين إماما Oh Allah let us be leaders for the pious. As mothers and fathers, let our children be the pious and let us be leaders of the pious. O Allah, from your side as a gift, hab lana, as a gift, make our children and our spouses the coolness of our eyes. Allahumma alif bayna qulubina. O Allah, let our hearts always be united. Aslih dhata baynina. Fights and arguments that are occurring between us. O Allah, from your side you sort it out. وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى مَنْ عَادَانَا O Allah, those that have enmity, those who try to harm us, O Allah, you help us against them. وَهَدِنَا سُبُلَ السَّلَامِ O Allah, show us the road towards peace. وَمَتِّعْنَا بِأَسْمَاعِنَا وَأَبْصَارِنَا وَقُوَّاتِنَا وَجَعَلْهُ الْوَارِثَ مِنَّا O Allah, as long as we are alive, let us be able to take benefit from every sense of our body, our eyesight, our hearing, our mind, our senses, our limbs. Allah, let us never have to become dependent on anyone but you. Allah, let us never have to be dependent on anyone but you. Let us not be slaves of this world. Allah, let us be the king of the world. Allah, let us not have to become dogs of this dunya. Allah, let us rather be the sons of the year after. Allah, let our eye be towards the year after and let the world come running behind us. Let our thrill not be with the items of this world. Allah, let our thrill be from that on that which has come from you. Let our thrill be on Quran. Let our thrill be with Quran, on learning Quran, on teaching Quran, on trying to understand your Quran. وصلى الله على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين